Hello, and welcome to the Blake Griffin episode of the Hoop Theory Podcast, aka episode 109, which is in honor of him being the first pick in the 09 NBA draft. Recording this one on the afternoon of Saturday, February 8th, in the year of our Lord 2025. My name is Logan Wortman, and as usual, I'm joined by my shaken co-host, Jacob Roth. Jacob, how does it feel to be on the Blake Griffin episode?
Honestly, if I was shaken as a child, that kind of does explain a lot. But it feels good to be... I was not. That was a joke. It feels good. Have you seen the recent clip of Blake Griffin going on a podcast with a couple comedians and they ask him about code switching?
Where he's like, I don't think so. No.
So it's referring to like, he's like obviously mixed. So like asking if he talks different. And he's like, yeah, for sure. And then apparently he was going on Carmelo Anthony's podcast like next, like later on that afternoon when he was recording with these two comedians. And so like someone took the two clips and put them next to each other. And it's really funny. It's just really funny. Anyway, love Blake Griffin. His time in Boston will never be forgotten. Ultimate teammate. No, like that's not a joke. He's like this weirdly beloved.
I feel like I already forgot about it.
Really? Oh, yeah. No, he is apparently the ultimate locker room teammate guy after he fell from being like one of the best fours in the league. Remember Swifty. Also when he was like just like a slasher dunker type of guy and then all of a sudden like turned into a point forward when he had to go to Detroit? Yeah. That was a wild thing for someone to do. Like in an off season, just turn that on, which was
and
awesome.
And started shooting, yeah.
Yeah, I honestly might be one of my guys, actually. Blake Griffin.
Yeah, honestly.
It's most, like, obviously the Boston part helps, but that, like, ability to just be like, I'm a point forward now because I'm on the same team as Andre Drummond. Let's do it. And it was, like, good.
It was they were doing wild. The 4-5 pick and rolls. It was, like, one of their main offensive actions. But I was looking at his basketball reference because I wanted to see if he had nicknames, because he feels like a nickname guy, you know, it feels like a guy that would have nicknames, but he doesn't have any listed on Basketball Reference. But what I just noticed while you're talking is his initials is BAG, B-A-G.
Oh wow, the notorious BAG. That's nuts.
Yeah, BAG. So I like that one.
He doesn't have any nicknames listed.
Yeah, it just feels wrong. Like, it feels like a crime that Blake Griffin doesn't have any nicknames. I feel like there has to be some, like, but I can't actually think of one, to be honest.
He's a mixed guy with reddish hair, and no one could come up with anything?
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, we'll get somebody working on that, I guess. So this one is dedicated to Blake Griffin. So shout out to him. This episode, though, we will be talking about the trade deadline, so he will not really come up, I don't think, because he's, you know, well out of being in discussions for trade talks at this point, seeing as he's retired. But we're going to be looking at over the main deals that have happened. Obviously, there's one that probably stands above the rest. But this trade deadline overall has been very, very eventful. Lots of moving pieces. Probably the biggest trade deadline, I think... I don't know, probably in the past 10 years, honestly, at least.
It felt very 2K-esque.
Yeah.
For like, it's
pretty crazy.
It was kind of nuts. I also think that the trade that we will either start with or end with, I'm not sure how you want to approach it, was like the biggest trade in like, in terms of out of nowhere bombshell, biggest sports trade ever in any sport, maybe.
Yep.
Like it's in that running. From just being out of nowhere, and every single analyst that knows somebody was like Zach Lowe was like one guy that like reaching out to GM people, and no one knew what was happening. You're like, what in the heck is going on? And so it's good to know that everybody on the planet, except for Rob Pelinka and Nico Harrison, were all on the same level of what is going on.
Yeah. Like, the world seemed to stop for a second.
Like, imagine being that secretary that's like, oh, Mr. Pelinka, Nico Harrison of the Mavericks is on line one. Okay, cool, send him through. She sends him through, and then all of a sudden, like, champagne bottles start popping in his office. There's, like, like they're like freaking out, everything's great, nothing's sad, and you have no idea what's going on. You're just like, something good happened. Little did you know, the Staple or whatever you want to call it, I'm gonna call it Staple Center because I refuse to change.
Crypto.com Arena.
I have refused. Yeah. Is just going to be sold out for the next decade plus, even though it was already going to. It's now going to be again because the next superstar has arrived in LA.
Yep. I heard somebody say before the deadline, somebody made the comment, and this was a very unarguable, non-controversial thing to say. He said that at this trade deadline, the biggest acquisition in the league is going to be the Clippers getting Kawhi Leonard back without a minutes restriction. Like, there's not going to be a bigger player acquisition in the NBA than that. And it turns out that's not even true for the city of Los Angeles.
I don't even know if it's true for, like, how many of these deals would you put above that? Because it was supposed to be so quiet. Honestly, the Jimmy Butler deal, you knew was coming.
Or Fox. But it's, those two, maybe.
Those two. But, like, Jimmy Butler, it would have been like, oh, no big deal, except it decided to use a sixth of the league. Like,
yeah,
they needed 16, like, such a giant chunk. I mean, mm-hmm. It's literally an entire Excel spreadsheet just to type out, like, what's involved in that one trade to get Jimmy Butler out of his fourth team he doesn't want to be on anymore.
Yeah.
Honestly, is it his fourth? Or is it
it's, that feels right. Because
he kind of wanted his way out of Chicago. It wasn't as, like...
He definitely did.
He wanted out of Chicago, but it wasn't at the end of the season, or was it a mid-season trade?
It was off-season, I think.
So it wasn't as, like, egregious quitting in the middle of the season. Definitely did it in Minnesota.
Yeah,
definitely did it in Philly. And definitely did it...
He didn't do it in Philly. That's the one he didn't do it in. Because they, in the off-season, they just didn't... They didn't extend him, or they didn't offer him a max. They were like, Jimmy, we don't know. We only have room for one of these guys. We'll sign Tobias Harris. Like... Jimmy actually just got not chosen in that situation. But
which is hilarious now thinking, but
yeah.
Okay. So I guess he has not whined his way out of every team he's been on. But 75% is still a pretty aggressive clip to be sitting at.
No, for sure.
I hope it works out for him. I'm sure we'll talk about that trade and all the pieces involved in it as we continue the episode. But before we get going, Logan, do you want to tell the people about any places they can go to support the podcast and get more information about stuff?
Yeah, we could do that over on patreon.com or buymeacoffee.com, both /hooptheory. All of our links can also be found in the description of both the show and the episode, wherever you're watching or listening to this. We would also greatly appreciate it if you would rate the show, leave a like or a comment. Of course, be sure to subscribe and follow the feed. And lastly, we'd also love it if you sent something into our mailbag for us to read and react to. Basketball related or otherwise, you can send those over to hooptheory.mailbag@gmail.com. And without further ado, honestly, we kind of started talking about the Jimmy Butler thing there, and I had a take that I want to pop off about Jimmy Butler that I haven't heard from anywhere else. And that is that Jimmy, he was right in the past for how he's felt and how he's exited some situation.
Previously, yes.
Mm-hmm. But now he's just getting to the point where he's not quite that same player. But he, you know, you can't fault a man for like keeping that same energy, same attitude. Because in the past he was like always this overachieving player that just he kept surpassing everyone's expectations of him. You know, he was like this 30th pick in the draft, something like that, at least out of JUCO. And then, well, he went from JUCO to Marquette, then got drafted late in the draft, and then in Chicago had to earn his minutes on the floor, got in there, became their best player. And then when it was time for him to get signed, though, the front office in Chicago still viewed him as like, well, he's not quite like that tier of player. He's not quite like superstar of your team.
He's like the first guy in the league out of that tier.
Yeah.
And
they
then
didn't want to give him the supermax. And so then he felt slighted. And was like, if you don't give me the Supermax, I don't want anything else. Like, give me to somebody else. So then that's how he got to Minnesota. And then a similar situation there because of how many great players they had that were younger. Like, the great, I put in quotes, but, like, you know, they were potentially great,
Cat,
maybe.
Yeah.
Cat and Wiggins. And so they wanted to keep those two long term. And so then it was like, Jimmy, I don't know if he doesn't really match our future, you know, so we don't want to necessarily max him out the wazoo. And then he felt slighted there again and was like, well, then trade me. I'm not sticking around if you're not planning on keeping me. And so that made sense too, because he was right about Cat and Wiggins at the time, that they didn't have
soft.
Yeah. What it takes to be, you know, on a Jimmy Butler team. And he was by far the superior player. Gets to Philly. Philly just doesn't choose him because of the toxicity around him that kind of comes with him. And they preferred to get somebody who's non-offensive and can, in theory, produce some value in Tobias Harris, although that value was rarely produced after they did give him that contract. And then Jimmy Butler ended up in Miami and had a crazy stretch. He took them to the finals multiple times when it felt like they were nowhere close to being that level of team.
I think we will see how far they were from being that level of team. Like, obviously years have developed and players have, but like when the Heat like fight for their lives to like maybe make the playoffs this year, I feel like we'll be like, oh wait, but maybe not. They got a lot for Jimmy Butler.
And Tyler Hero's become a lot better in this season.
They just got a lot of pieces that they can kind of, none of them are great, but they can all kind of fit in. All-time nicknames, though, from the three guys they got. So
yeah,
we'll talk about that later, I'm sure, also.
They're not making the finals, though. I can guarantee you that. They're not making the finals anytime soon. And that's something that they did with Jimmy Butler.
You would hope.
Yeah.
I would hope, specifically.
Yeah, so that's my little, I guess, thought that I had about Jimmy Butler. I don't think he's going to be justified the same type of way quite anymore, because father time is the one thing that's undefeated. You know, he surpassed people's expectations of him before, but I don't think he's going to be worth a supermax deal for another 5 years after this one. That just seems like it's kind of an impossibility. Just LeBron who's done that so far at the age that Butler will be. So,
but maybe anyways. Jimmy Butler's secretly the GOAT. Maybe we're not privy to it. He's going to play till he's 50 and be just good the whole time.
I mean, he was looking good in the time that he was playing without sandbagging in Miami this year. He was looking very good. So maybe that's still in him. But anyways, getting to the...
Do we want to wrap up his trade? Because we just did a big expose on Jimmy Butler.
That would make sense. Just look at Jimmy Butler's trade. He went to the Golden State Warriors, which was one of the main suitors being talked about for him.
It seems like the Warriors are like, we have like 18 more months of like Steph Curry being able to carry us alone. We need to find someone else. Mm-hmm. So they threw out Nets everywhere. They were in talks with LaVine. Obviously, we're in talks about Butler. They threw the like, hey, KD, you good in Phoenix? You come home, we wouldn't be mad, I promise. Like, they threw out pretty much feelers to everyone that, like, some random Twitter person made a rumor about. The Warriors called about. They're like, oh, read from Warrior Lover 648 that you might be thinking about moving somebody. And then they just called every team, I'm sure, trying to get somebody to pair with Steph, and ended up getting Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, and I think it's a good move. I don't know if it really puts the Warriors over the hump this season, but it definitely improves them for sure into being a more competitive play-in to maybe slightly above play-in team at best. I don't know if they'll actually end up there, but just in terms of the caliber of team that I feel like they might be now, definitely could be up there if everybody stays healthy. Another playmaker, another guy that can handle the ball in the Warriors offense, which I think is really needed. Outside of, you know, Draymond and Steph, they don't really have a lot of that. I guess Pajimski is there, but he has had a bit of a sophomore slump for most of the season. So yeah, I like the deal for them. And also Miami, it's hard to go wrong when you were not getting literally anything out of your distressed asset in Jimmy Butler.
Self-suspending him over and over again.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Being able to get some value with Andrew Wiggins. And a couple of those other Kyle Anderson
and off night Davion Mitchell.
Yeah. All of which feel like Heat guys to me. Definitely feel like Heat culture players. So that's good there.
Would you think heat culture is kind of, no one's going to take it seriously now?
Now? What do you mean now?
Like, after this whole crazy with Jimmy Butler, do you think that's kind of dead a little bit or not?
I don't think so. I mean, I feel like it's as dead as it was. I feel like I've always at least kind of cringed a little bit at the, especially them putting it on their jersey. that part of it didn't love, but I mean, it is a real thing to a certain extent. And I don't think Jimmy Butler was all of that. I think it's Pat Riley, it's Eric Spoelstra, it's, you know, the whole system.
D Wade. There.
Yeah.
But he's gone now, obviously. But he was kind of the first like superstar player to really kind of do it. It was his era, wasn't it? It was like D Wade's.
It was the first there. Superstar to do what?
The heat culture thing. Or was it pre?
I guess Dwayne I don't know what Wade. You mean by the heat culture thing.
Where you just kind of are like a quiet nothing on the wall, but you're still really, really good.
A quiet nothing on the wall.
Honestly, now that I'm thinking about it more, I don't even know if I know what heat culture is other than stupid.
Yeah, I kind of think of heat culture as like it's just like putting the team above self. It's always a grind. Like you're.
Oh, so it's the Patriot way. It's the same thing that they said about the Patriots.
Yeah.
In the NFL maybe. Side.
It's probably, yeah. I don't know what that is, but it sounds like it would be something similar. The whole body fat percentage thing that they do.
That feels just weird to me. Yeah. Honestly, KD, that he would have had no troubles getting there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they had to lift it a little bit when they had Kyle Lowry.
or just ignore it.
Yeah.
Just for him.
Mm-hmm. But anyways, yeah, that's a good trade overall, I think, for a lot of the sides involved. There was like six teams involved in it, so.
Yeah, I guess I could read off what happened. Jimmy Butler went to the Warriors for 2 seconds and cash from the Heat. The Heat got Andrew Wiggins, Kyle Anderson, Davion Mitchell, and a protected first this year from the Warriors. Not sure what the protection on that is. I'm going to assume it's probably lottery protected or something pretty aggressively protected. The Jazz got their hats in just about every trade as like, we will facilitate stuff. Josh Richardson is now a member of the Utah Jazz as well as KJ Martin, but he got moved in a different deal already. So that doesn't really matter.
He is in Utah. He got moved before that deal.
From the Bucks. No, from the Sixers because he was.
Yeah, anyway. He got moved from the Sixers to the Pistons, then from the Pistons to the Jazz in this Heat deal.
In this trade, yeah. They also got a 2028 second round from the Pistons, a 2031 second round from the Heat, and then cash considerations from the Heat. Those all going to Utah. The Pistons got Lindy Waters III and Dennis Schroeder, but I think he also has since been moved. Or is he?
No, he went to the Pistons.
He's still there. Okay.
Yeah, he was like routed originally to Utah in the deal, and then they moved him.
Rerouted to Pistons.
Yeah, to the Pistons. So Dennis Schroeder has technically been traded to 4 teams this season because he got traded from Brooklyn to Golden State, Golden State to Utah, the Heat to Utah to the Warriors.
And speaking of someone that's been traded an insanely large number of times this offseason, and specifically this trade deadline, for the Raptors, they received PJ Tucker, a 2026 second round pick from the Heat, and cash from the Heat as well.
The Heat gave everybody cash.
Yeah, pretty much like, please help us. Yes, please help us make this happen. We will give you money.
Yeah. So
that's it. That's trade.
All right. So yeah, kind a lot of moving pieces there, but.
All to have a big old nothing burger of Jimmy Butler going to the Warriors.
Yeah, because I
truly don't think it does really anything.
I think they'll be better for sure, but I don't think it's to the level of being a team that can. I don't know if they can really win a playoff series. That's kind of where the bar is. I feel like it's like, could they win a playoff series?
No matter who it's against. No. Like, if you like are trying to make the barometer be against the Thunder, a lot of teams won't be able to do that. But like,
yeah,
I don't know who they beat just in general, but.
Maybe if it's like the Rockets, if they are somehow able to
if they're really
match up with
the,
them.
The youth kind of struggles and yeah.
But that's a maybe. So definitely, yeah, I feel like it's going to be amounting to not a lot, but it gets Jimmy somewhere he's new. Happy, maybe, hopefully.
Happy for at least now.
Yeah, assuming they want to pay him, which I think the team
well,
that
they
would
did.
Take
I think
Jimmy...
they already agreed
oh,
to...
they did? Okay, that makes sense.
Something.
I was going to say, that if they didn't, that would be one of the weirdest deals to make, because he, obviously the situation he's in, the reason he's upset is because of the contract negotiations. So, you know, obviously yeah. You should probably want to appease him there if you want to bring him in. But anyways, another deal to move to is what I would say the dumbest trade of our lifetimes.
I don't know if it'll be touched. This might be like the whole thing is like so far. I don't know. This is like anything dumber than this. I feel like the NBA steps in is like, this is bad for the league.
I almost feel like it, like you're kind of hinting at what I'm going to get into, which is I think that the main explanation for this, for me at least, is that the league did step in and make this happen to begin with, because I don't see another like reasonable explanation for why this could happen and nobody's fired.
So, like, so you know far, what I mean? So no far. One's fired so far.
He is receiving death threats and stuff.
I
have you seen
that?
He
had to hire private security. We're referring to the all-time big brain play from Nico Harrison, the GM of the Dallas Mavericks, as they sent the cash cow known as Luka Doncic to the Lakers for Anthony Davis, Max Christie, and a 2029 first-round pick. Mm-hmm. Also being involved, going to L.A., was Maxi Kleba and Markieff Morris. And because they had to be mentioned for some reason this trade deadline, the Jazz are going to be receiving Jalen Hood-Schifino and two second-round picks in 2025.
Mm-hmm.
Because Danny Ainge was just, it's like he wiretapped every deal and was like, I need to be involved, make it a three-team trade.
Yeah.
And help out with, just helped out with salaries from what I've gathered, but did it a lot of times.
Yeah, I think it was necessary for the Lakers to get off of Hood-Schifino to make the salary work. But yeah, it's a...
It's stupid.
I can't believe this is a move that happened. Just in the middle of the night, really. It was like 11 something when it broke, and nobody knew anything about it. He was not shopped around. No one knew that Luka was available. No one knew AD was available, for that matter. But you know, people tend to become available when Luka Doncic is on the table. You know.
Yeah, and it sounded like AD had done an interview with ESPN. Well, that's fact. That is a known. Everyone knew that he did this interview and essentially brought up, like, I'd like a center.
Yeah, a couple weeks before the trade.
And
happened.
Apparently, this is the unknown kind of people allegedly saying that really pissed off Rob Pelinka, like, a lot. And so that's when he was like, you know what, buddy? Get ready to speak somewhere that's not here. And that's what, like, kind of put AD on the table. And then Nico Harrison and AD are, like, best friends or something.
Mm-hmm.
They're buddies. I don't know why.
I don't know how, but I've just heard that they have a relationship. Yeah.
Of some kind. And so then that kind of got things going. But the thing that I think gets me is, like, how we could be GMs. If this is the baseline required outside of having connections... Like, because like if let's say that you like, if you're stupid and are worried about Luka getting fat and you want to move off of him, I am calling 29 NBA teams.
Yeah.
And saying, I want your best player in every possible pick you can give me.
Yeah. There's and like then, literally no limit to what you can ask for.
And some people say no. The Spurs say no. The Nuggets say no.
Mm-hmm.
The Thunder, Celtics, both probably saying no. Okay, Celtics shouldn't have been in that sentence, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to say it anyway because I don't care. Anyway, like, that's how insane this is. And instead, you called. It's like Deal or No Deal, just taking the first deal that the guy gives you when you, and then you have the $1 million briefcase. But the secret is, you knew you had the $1 million briefcase the whole fucking time, and his name's Luka Doncic. Anyway, sorry. I just get more and more mad. Like, I start level-headed about thinking about it, and then it makes me just irate.
Yeah, it's definitely something that has irked me over the past almost week now. Or it has been a week. Today's Saturday. So it's just insane to me that it happened. And that's a reality we live in. As you were saying with the, you were theorizing with Anthony Davis, I don't even think there needs to be an explanation for why Anthony Davis was thrown into the deal, because it's just, that's a trade you make 11 times out of 10 is giving up Anthony Davis for Luka Doncic.
See, one thing I would like to know, were the Lakers calling people saying, hey, we're irritated with AD, what would you give us?
From like, the way reported, has been that Dallas reached out to the Lakers about this a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Originally. So, and I don't know when they reached out, if the question, how it started was, hey, do you want Luka? Or was it, hey, we want AD?
Yeah.
I don't know how they approached it exactly. But it's like, it's just insane to me that that is.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep saying the same thing over and over. But the like thing I would like to talk about here is a couple points that were have been sitting in my mind. Like you broke up or brought up the Celtics. I feel like a big way to explain or describe how insane this trade is like thinking about it from the Celtics' point of view. If you just replaced this deal with for Luka with Tatum on the Celtics, getting the same exact return from the Lakers as the Mavericks did, I don't think Brad Stevens says yes. I don't think the Celtics do that deal for Tatum.
No, he says no, like fast and maybe laughs.
Mm-hmm.
And Luka is like, Tatum?
Luka. Yeah, turn like, the volume
it's like,
up.
it's like an aggressive leap. It's not like, oh, they're right there. Like, there's shelves. Like, Tatum could be a top seven player in the NBA. Heck, if you want to, you can put him side by side in your top players in the NBA ranking if you want to.
Yeah.
There's still a giant cliff between whatever number you have Luka and whatever number you have Tate, whether it's at 3 and 4, there's a giant gap. That's like 4 places. It's huge. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm...
Yeah, and that I think there's a gap between Tatum and Anthony Davis a little bit as well. And the other thing, though, with it is Anthony Davis's age and also him not being like the he's not like the number one on a team the same way that Tatum and especially Luka are, where you can just have them as the engine of your team. And it's like a baseline. It's like a floor for being a good team, like a competitive team. So, yeah, that's just it's just something that I didn't believe it when I first saw, you know, our friend Anthony texted us in a group chat and was like, ain't no way the Lakers just traded or the Mavs just traded Luka to the Lakers for AD. And I was like, "There, I didn't even consider the possibility of that being true when I read that. I was like, he is pranking us. I was like, what? This isn't even a good prank. Like, this is like not believable. Why would he even try to trick us with this? But then I go and look at Twitter and it's on there with Shams's account. And Shams had to clarify that he hadn't been hacked. And Bobby Marks had to clarify that, he, you know, he wasn't still being hacked. It's just madness. It's something that is unprecedented. It's the first time any players have ever been traded for one another that are both reigning All-NBA selections.
Oh.
And I'd say that is like an understatement of what these two players are. Luka Doncic is like a, you know, he's made first team All-NBA 5 times in his 6-year career. Never been done before. And then Anthony Davis is the 3rd best big in the NBA. Like, just in terms of best centers.
Yeah.
I'd say he's 3rd.
He's a 4, like, but
if we want to call him a 4, then he's number 2 probably behind Giannis.
No, I was being just
yeah.
A jokester of but, playing a funny on you. But yeah, no, I don't know. It's like, it's hard because like you feel like you'd have so much to say, but then you realize, no, it's just, you want to scream. This is so dumb. No matter how I explain it.
Mm-hmm.
How?
There's no explanation for it. I don't know if I'm going to be like harmed or like my brain is just not going to have any reaction to like NBA trades anymore. After this one, like this one just ruined the way I perceive value for value or like getting fleeced. Like, it's like, there's, this is like an all time, you're just dumb.
James Harden's trade looks like a good trade now.
Yeah, the Rockets.
Great trade.
Uh-huh.
Honestly, the Lakers mortgaging their whole future on AD now looks fine.
Yeah, well, I think that's it was proven to be fine because they won a title because of it, but still, yeah. it was more than they needed to give up to get him.
But now that you realize that trade, getting rid of all your first turn into Luka, you're like, well, that's super fine. A title in Luka.
Exactly.
It's just, yeah. Oh, man.
The Lakers get their next face. You know, it's been every single era this has happened.
I would like it to be known. Luka has not said he wants to sign back in LA verbally. That's not been brought up, which feels weird.
It's not been brought up or it has been brought up?
It's not been said at all. Nothing's been said about it.
But was he prompted to say it?
I don't know. But I feel like usually, but granted, Luka didn't know about the deal, so he couldn't have been like, oh no, I would not want to sign in LA, or I would want to sign in LA. I don't know why you wouldn't, but.
Exactly. I'm thinking like there's no way he would.
But that's about the only reason, and that might not be that big of a deal.
Other than the fact that
he's already lost out on $116 million.
Yeah.
Because of the Supermax ineligibility now.
Mm-hmm. Because of how being traded. You know, before he finishes his deal with Dallas. So that's the other part of it. That's just,
I feel like we're going to get Supermax's reworked going into the next in 8 years, whatever it is, the next Players Associate, like CBA. Yeah.
The funny thing, that rule is to protect teams.
Yeah.
But this is the rare situation, the only situation ever where it's the player that's being hurt by it because the team is just so dumb that they're like, oh, yeah, we don't want to give. There's just the idea that they don't want to pay Luka Doncic a Supermax deal. Like, is Jokic a Supermax player?
Is anyone? Well, if Luka's not, is anyone?
Exactly. Is he a max? Do they give him a. Like, what were they willing to pay?
Jokic beats everything, but like in terms of like butts and seats, Luka's is just a bigger brand than Jokic because of how flashy he is about stuff. So there is not a more valuable player in basketball.
Mm-hmm.
When LeBron's done.
Yeah.
Wemby's maybe the only other one.
Yeah. But it's just insane to me. And as I was about to say, like with the Lakers, that's why I feel like there's something weird with how the NBA does its business with the Lakers. There always has been.
Chris Paul.
The whole Chris Paul thing. But that was actually the other direction. That was the one time they stepped in to make it not happen.
I also don't know why other NBA owners all didn't all like freak out and be like, whoa, you own the Pelicans. Stop. Because they were technically like the owners of the Pelicans at the time because there wasn't anybody.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead. I misunderstand it. I've always understood it as the NBA was kind of the de facto owner of the Pelicans at the time of the trade because there wasn't one yet.
Yeah, mm-hmm, exactly. Okay. So there was no owner of the team, so the league just owned it. And so David Stern in that situation, like legally, becomes the de facto owner who can make decisions. But the team was still being run by the front office that was already in place.
That was there.
And I don't know if the GM there, I don't even remember who it was, but the GM there might have had some connections to the Lakers, like had friends over there or was a Lakers fan or like something like that. But he was like under the assumption he was on his way out. And so in that situation, he's like, I'm going to trade our best player to the team I want him to go to for like not a great deal just to help that team out. Chris Bangle? I'm not sure. I probably wouldn't know it. Dell Demps. I don't even recognize the name, but he wanted to send Chris Paul to the Lakers. And so then David Stern was like, I have the power to say no to this, not because I'm the commissioner, but because I'm the de facto owner of the team. And this is not okay. This is not like, you know, in good faith. So I actually don't have a problem with that one. There definitely was controversial because of the headline of like the league vetoed the trade. And so then, there were definitely a lot of owners that were upset about how that went down. But when you look at all the details.
Also, not that bad of a trade.
Pau Gasol, but he was older.
Houston got Pau. The Hornets got Lamar Odom, Kevin Martin, Luis Scola, and Goran Dragic, a young Goran Dragic.
And they got that was the Pelicans?
That's Hornets. The haul the Pelicans got.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lakers got Chris Paul. Honestly, I feel like if you punch this into the 2K trade machine, all teams accept.
Well, do you think the Pelicans would? Chris Paul was like, it's hard because
I got to think of like where everybody was at. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, he averaged like 12 or 13 assists a game. I don't know if the Pelicans would do that in a vacuum. But I mean, the Lakers for sure, because that the Lakers are.
There will also be final draft picks exchanged, but those are going to be finalized when the transaction can. Because it was before like the time could have trades could happen, I guess. So draft picks would have been also added in, and those didn't get added.
Okay. But
the Hornets were also going to be receiving a future first and second round pick, according to David Aldrich from Houston.
See, so another thing that the Lakers, all they gave up was
from
Powell,
the Lakers,
correct?
From the Lakers. No, pick, the first round pick. Anyway, they would have gotten picks, but putting it into perspective
Powell
now.
Powell and picks for Paul at that point is a no-brainer, yes, for the Lakers.
But it's not as bad as what we witnessed a week ago.
No, not at all. I'm just saying that the Lakers were getting a little bit of a hand out from the GM of the Pelicans, who didn't have any reason to live as a GM. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyways, so that trade happened, but that was the other direction of what I was kind of going into with the Lakers. Over the history of the NBA, they just keep getting basically the best player in the NBA at their peak, like a top three or four player in the NBA. They got Wilt in 68 or something like that. In the late 60s, they just ended up with Wilt Chamberlain, added him to a roster of Elgin Baylor and Jerry West, and were able to win a title because of that. And then later on, about, I think, a decade later, they got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, mid-70s, who was the best player in the NBA by kind of a wide margin at that point. Lucked into him. And then in the 90s, they got Shaq out of Orlando when he was getting a new home because he was wanting to get out of Orlando. And then they ended up with Pau Gasol out of nowhere. Like, this is the Luka trade has gotten the most, the trade that it's gotten the most comparisons to this week has been that Pau Gasol trade because of like the feeling around the league. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this one is that on steroids because of how good Luka is. But back then it was like, oh, the Lakers have been kind of disappointing after they traded Shaq and it's just Kobe by himself. They don't have enough to get over the hump. And then all of a sudden, the Grizzlies trade their cornerstone and, like, you know, great young player, great best player on their team. And no one knew at all that he was available in the slightest. And it was not shopped around. It was like, after that happened, the whole league was like, what in the world? Why did the Lakers just get Pau Gasol for like 40 cents on the dollar? Nobody else knew he was available.
Kwame Brown, Javaris Crittenton. The draft rights to Mark Gasol.
Which wasn't even drafted yet, I don't think. I'm pretty sure that was a pick that became Mark Gasol later.
And first round picks in 2008 and 2010. This article was written in... It was written recently. So it's like...
Yeah, but Mark Gasol was...
Was Mark Gasol like a Eurostash? And that's the draft rights to him? And then
He was traded as a pick. It was like a pick that they used to get Marc Gasol. If it was just the draft rights, then yeah, I mean,
it's written as the draft rights to Marc Gasol.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
But like, so they got the... I'll go find
a story from 2008 that has it.
I'll just check what it says, who he got drafted to. It does say Lakers. The 07 draft. Anyways, if it was
the Lakers, and the first two round picks for Gasol, It's hard because there's two Gasol, so I can't just look for the word Gasol. It's making it confusing.
Yeah. I'm not sure if he was known about at the time that that was the pick, but if not, either way, he was like the 39th pick or whatever he was in the draft. It's like he was not expected to be
good. It was known already.
It was known. Okay. Regardless, he was not a known commodity. It was like that. Oh, that's Pau Gasol's little brother that might be an NBA player. He was picked in the late 30s. You know, he did turn into be a all-star and like an actual pretty good replacement, but that was not known at the time, and it was definitely not a good deal at the moment of making it. But anyways, regardless, kind of going off back track to your a little thing, bit.
The Lakers have had a weird number of trades just kind of happen.
Appear out of thin air, and they get a really good player that pushes them over the top. They won a title with all of those guys that I've listed so far. And they wouldn't have without them. And then after Pau, it took a while, but then eventually they got LeBron, which was a free agent acquisition, so it wasn't quite the same thing. But they did get him because of Magic's relationship with him and stuff like that. So that one, was, I don't think, was like a tampered situation.
That one just made sense for LeBron being this giant brand and going to the only... Like, there was only one possible place that could make his brand bigger. Like, that's literally it.
And then AD, because of the LeBron deal, eventually AD ended up in New Orleans, or in Los Angeles from New Orleans. And those are all, like, you know, some of the best players on the planet at the time. And now Luka. It's just like they keep getting, acquiring, like no other team acquires stars like that. And this one especially just feels like it was, it's not natural. It feels messed with. It feels like there was intervention. But that's
couldn't
just
be my team.
Yeah. Famously, Kevin McHale trading Kevin Garnett as a deal, as a handshake or a nod to.
Yeah, they still got a lot for it, but yes.
Yeah, but he was supposed to go to the Lakers, and the Lakers were giving up more to get him. And McHale was like, I'm about to get fired. I'm not doing that deal. I'm sending him to the Celtics.
Based.
Yeah. But anyways, the Luka for AD deal, I mean, we could just leave it there, I think.
It's bad. F. If we're giving it grades, F. Jimmy Butler... C.
Yeah, that's probably fair. But something that happened after the Luka deal for the Lakers, them getting Mark Williams, because they didn't have any center on their team, really. Jackson Hayes was slotted to be their starting center and had been for a few games. I believe might still be, because I don't know if Mark Williams is injured right now. I think he might be. Yeah, he's like always injured. He's only played 84 of his 211.
Those are like Zion numbers.
Yeah, I think worse than Zion.
That makes me even more upset.
Yeah.
That makes me even more mad.
That's the thing with Mark Williams is like on paper, he looks like an elite Luka Ball center, but we haven't really seen it on the court all that much. It's been very, very few and far between that we've actually seen minutes strung together by Mark Williams in his young career so far. So, but hopefully he's over those injuries. Who knows? But they did have to give up Dalton Connect, obviously their most promising young player that they somehow didn't have to give up to get Luka. Like, so that's one way you could look at it is like somehow you didn't have to give him up in the Luka deal, but so now you just use it. He's like, you know, on the house, use him to get Mark Williams.
Cam Reddish, they also got the Hornets also received Cam Reddish, an unprotected first, which I didn't know those existed 31. Anymore. In 2031, I didn't know those were real. Unprotected first. Honestly, as karma, I hope Luka chooses to go somewhere else, and they suck. And then the next LeBron is coming into the league, or the next Wemby. I'm saying next. Like, there's never going to be another one of these guys. But anyway, like, some just GOAT prospect is sitting there, number one overall in 2031, and then Adam Silver and his little gremlin weasel hands will be like, actually... They could, they have the pick back. And that's just the world. That's the world we're going to have to live in. And we're all just going to have to swallow it. And then in 2030, there's also a pick swap between the Lakers and the Hornets.
It's just insane. It feels like that deal It's like almost as much. It's almost in the ballpark as what they gave up for Luka. You know what I mean? It's like, how did they give up more draft capital to get Mark Williams than they did to get Luka Doncic?
I would almost be less mad if I looked at these deals and you perfectly replaced what was traded for what. I'm like, these are both stupid.
Yeah, but you know opposite what? Ways around, obviously.
Yeah, but like, connects like it's a maybe promising young player, maybe. I don't know. I don't love it. It's dumb. But like, at least you got an unprotected first and a pick swap. At least you got something in the draft.
You're talking about the Hornets?
It's hard because it's not like the same two teams. I'm just trying to like rationalize anything in my brain and nothing works. It's all dumb. Well,
though it's obvious why the Hornets do it.
Like, No. I know why the Hornets do it. I'm not questioning that. I'm just saying like, if the Mavericks were to have received that haul as opposed to the haul they got, I'm like, how much more dumb do you feel like things are?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely like, obviously
there's
more
not
dumb.
Like the big piece of AD, but like at least you get picks and maybe a promising young guy. Maybe like, but that's how stupid this all is. It's all stupid.
That it feels like it's somewhere close to that. Yeah,
I will paraphrase the text I sent you after I saw this Mark Williams trade because I don't want to say all the words I texted to you. But I feel like my passion in the moment for the trade is worth bringing up. Is Rob Pelinka physically capable of seeming competent for more than 72 hours is what I texted you.
Yeah. It does feel like a lot for
Mark
Williams.
I'm also higher
sure.
on Reeves than most, I think.
You mean Connect?
Connect, sorry. Mm-hmm. Reeves is the like reason that one maybe it's fine.
Yeah.
But Connect for me is like, maybe I'm higher than him on most, but I'm like, why are you, like, he lines up with Luka's, like, window that's, like, started already. Like, I guess Reeves does too to a certain extent, but I don't know. I just thought it was dumb.
I mean,
but
Reeves like, and Luka are the same age, I think.
You don't know if he can play. You don't know if he's healthy.
Yeah, but in theory, he's a really, really good setter for Luka, obviously. So I understand that thought of it, but, and like, so Mark Williams for the return that they got for him, like that's obviously a vastly different amount of value, but I think the reason why it might turn out to be not a disaster is because of how much better Mark Williams is for the Lakers than he is anywhere else.
Yeah.
Because of how much better Luka makes players like Mark Williams, and then also how desperately they needed a center is a big thing also. But so yeah, bad trade overall, but like if you pair them as trades together, like if they made both of these deals, I'd say they still
like
win.
Like a three team where it's like a thing.
Yeah. Like if both the Luka deal and the Mark Williams deal was made at the same exact time, you would still look at the Lakers as like far and away the winners of the deal.
They won the shocker, the Lakers won the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Aggressively. Oh, and I guess you have to give grade for both teams. A quadruple plus, S plus ranking for the Lakers in the Luka trade. F minus to the extreme for the Mavs. For this trade, I feel like the Hornets won it still, but maybe
absolutely.
But to your point, as you are the in a vacuum, turning injuries off on a 2K sim, it's like perfect for Luka to get a Mark Williams type of center.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hornets get assets and young guys that can develop along LaMelo. And
Connect What were we about to say? If he's what?
If he just stays there. I just feel like LaMelo's just not going to stay there.
Really?
Who
knows? Luka didn't stay in Dallas, but...
Well, you know, I feel like Luka's into like very, very, very vocal about wanting to stay in Dallas. Has LaMelo Ball ever been like, seems like a guy that's going to stay in Charlotte? Yeah.
That's not. I'll push back on that.
He's definitely said he wanted to stay in Dallas.
He's said that, but you said you were phrasing it like he's over the top. Like,
not
there's
like
definitely been a lot of rumors.
Level. Also, yeah,
there's so many players that say that, but there's been a lot of rumors more so than like, you know, Jokic and Giannis, like it's about kind of like what Giannis is, like how Giannis's situation with Milwaukee has been in question a lot, like from year to year. Like there's been those thoughts, but it's always been like projecting outward, like people like worried about in the future Luka not wanting to stay with the Mavericks. like those types of things. But yeah, everything he said that he wants to stay there. LaMelo, I'm pretty sure, has only said same type of things with Charlotte. And also Charlotte like loves LaMelo. Like that's like, you know who the number one jersey sales player is in the NBA?
No, it's not.
LaMelo Ball. Since he's entered the league, he has sold more jerseys than any other player.
That's crazy. Shout out to that guy. That's how big
LaMelo is with kids. Like,
that's nuts. That's why they all have
the all-star voting. That's why he was like, right. He was the top vote getter outside of the starters and didn't make the bench.
Well, because we were talking about this. The coaches vote for the bench, and LaMelo doesn't seem like a coach's favorite.
Yeah, exactly. But he is a kid's favorite, fan's favorite.
He is a fan favorite. Fans shouldn't be allowed to vote for things like that because fans are stupid. But
for All-Star, I think that's it's for the fans, you know. So I'm fine guess with that.
That's true.
But yeah, he's like an All-Star type of player for sure. Fits the vibe of All-Star. For sure. So, but anyways, yeah, I feel like he's staying in Charlotte unless something weird happens. I don't know why they would get rid of him, but didn't know why the Mavs would get rid of Luka. That was never a thing that it was on anybody's radar.
You are broken. There's like, you're like, this is what should happen, and it didn't, to such an extreme that like my laws of logic in this realm of NBA trades are broken.
Yeah. No, for sure. And this is something that I feel like it broke the world. It's going to affect the world outside of sports. You know, I'm not kidding. It's like a massive, the city of Dallas is on fire. Not like LA, you know, not like literal fire, but like emotional fire. The like people were rioting in Dallas, you know?
Yeah.
And like, it's just like the effect that has on a culture of like...
The Cowboys have a good season and that's over. It doesn't matter anymore.
I don't know about that.
That's just
an entire career of Luka Doncic for no reason just got given away for no reason at all. Because
hey, what if AD's nuts? What if
because AD... he's not healthy. You want something more stable and consistent, so you trade for Anthony Davis, you know, just the picture of health.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're just going to keep going in circles on this, but I will stand by that this trade is one that, like, literally the world became about that for the, like, next day or so after, like, you know, like, everywhere. It was like, people who don't watch sports are like, what? How did this happen? People were... Did you see people comparing it to the JFK assassination in Dallas?
No, 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 no.
People were like, it feels like JFK just got shot.
What? The person that said that was not... Their parents might have not been born when JFK got shot then. There's no way. A president getting assassinated as opposed to your favorite player getting traded? That's absurd.
Your favorite player getting traded is a insane way to undersell what this was. That is an insulting way to undersell what this trade was. It's not just somebody's favorite.
I feel like even pretending like it's in the same realm as a president of the greatest nation on the planet getting assassinated.
Okay. Obviously it's a hyperbole, but it's like, it's not... As far as any basketball thing that can happen, that is the closest thing to that.
Sure.
Especially because of where it happened, you know, Dallas. It's like, affects the same.
I got something that's worse. What? Plane goes down, home team dies.
Did that happen?
No, but that's worse. It could happen in this hypothetical situation.
Okay, well, when that happens, we'll bring this back up.
Okay.
But as of now,
just think that's insane.
I brought that up as not a...
I'm just more thinking that, like, because I don't think it was as big of a wide-reaching thing outside of sports as you seem to think it was.
Really?
Yeah.
They were announcing it in clubs. DJs, not just in Dallas. like in Memphis, there were like in clubs, nightclubs, when that happened, a DJ came, like, stopped the music and announced literally, like, thing for thing, like, just Max Trucy, first round, like, he announced the trade to everybody. And everybody was like, stopped what they were doing and was like, what? Like, there's videos of it's like POV, you're in Dallas at a party when Luka gets traded, and everybody's just screaming. Everybody's like looking around, like screaming and crying, and like what is going on? Like, that's the level this is at. I feel like people, it's just,
that's fair, I guess.
There's going to be a lot, like in the thousands, probably, of people that were Mavericks fans that will no longer be Mavericks fans.
I believe that for sure.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, there were. Giving refunds to season ticket holders.
Oh boy.
Did you see that?
No, I did not see that. That's crazy.
Had such a large amount of season ticket holders saying they want a refund that they are starting to give out. I don't know if it's full refunds, but they're doing some sort of refunds for.
Whether it's like prorated to what they've used so far, or they're just giving.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
When you factor all of those things as a part of this, it's like, how do you make this deal?
How? Yeah, it's also kind of funny. Didn't want to pay him because it cost too much and he might be too fat. Just don't have season ticket holders anymore.
Yeah.
My favorite is how Mark Cuban's been like just in the shadows, not saying much.
Mm-hmm. Did you, like, see what Chandler Parsons said? He texted Mark Cuban, apparently.
Yes. And Mark Cuban was like,
I'm just as confused as you are. Yeah.
Little did we know that Mark Cuban was the bastion against just stupidity that we needed in the NBA.
Apparently. Apparently he was a better GM than their actual GM.
Because the second that crossed, Mark Cuban sees the headline, he's like, we're not doing that. No. Stop.
Mm-hmm.
If he is the governor or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, he said, what was it, a couple of years ago, he said, I would divorce my wife before trading Luka. Like, that was a thing he said.
Oh, man.
So I don't think he was the one that pulled the trigger on this, obviously.
Well, yeah, because he doesn't have... He's just like essentially a super fan at this point.
Yeah. he's a minority owner. But
maybe he's over it now. Maybe he doesn't care.
Yeah, maybe he's not a Mavs fan anymore, honestly. But anyways, moving back off of Luka, AD, Fox to the Spurs for LaVine to the Kings. Those were the two biggest moving pieces in that one. That was like the next big trade. I think the actual next trade that happened after the Luka deal, which kicked off this whole trade. That it's just insane. It happened a week, like not even close to the deadline. You know, it was like still 5 days left before you had to make a move. But yet they wanted to get out in front of it. And that they did.
Yeah, they did.
But yeah, so they got... the Spurs got De'Aaron Fox and Jordan McLaughlin. Kings got Zach LaVine, Sidy Sissoko, 25 first rounder from the Hornets, 27 first rounder from the Spurs, 31 first from the Wolves, and then 3 second round picks, 25, 28, and 28 from the Bulls, Nuggets, and Bulls in that respective order. And then the Bulls received Zach Collins, Kevin Huerter, Trey Jones, and a 25 first from the Spurs.
One caveat that I would like to point out is the Kings got just screwed over hard, not screwed over, but these firsts are an elaborate ruse. Mm-hmm. They are just smoke in the face. That 2025 Hornets first round pick is lottery protected. So fun fact, Hornets are going to have a lottery pick. So that's immediately next year turns into 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
With how the Spurs might catapult from this, the 2027 first round pick from the Spurs could essentially be a bottom five pick in the draft. Potentially.
In
the first round. Like
25 to
30. 25 to
30. Gotcha.
So just a good second round pick, mm-hmm. end of the first round type of pick. Then the 2031 via the Timberwolves, maybe it's fine. Maybe that's a decent pick.
Yeah. There's definitely no bet, though. Either way.
But like the thing you're hoping for now is like, oh, Ant leaves Minnesota and they suck.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's But then even then they can't suck too bad because I think it's top three protected or something like that.
Oh, is it?
So all of these first round picks are just an elaborate ruse that have a first in front of them. Essentially, the way I'd look at it is you got a potentially decent first round pick and 5 seconds or 6 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And Zach LaVine. You got Zach LaVine still.
Yeah.
But like...
And Sissy Soko is a pretty good... Well, he... Who knows what it'll be as an NBA player, but he's still a potential player.
But does anything change? Like, well, we saw it a couple...
Fox was one... He was demanding a trade.
No, I know, but like... this makes the Kings... Does nothing for the Kings.
I don't know if it makes them better, yeah. I agree
with
that.
They just turned into the Chicago Bulls from like 2 seasons ago.
Yeah. With literally. Sabonis being Vucevic.
Sabonis is Vucevic.
Uh-huh.
Zach LaVine is Zach LaVine. DeMar DeRozan is DeMar DeRozan.
Not really.
I'm blanking
anymore.
On their four.
Maybe get back to
I'm
that.
I'm blanking on the four.
On who?
Malik Monk's the point guard. He's essentially just Kobe White, but better.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Well, who's my four? I'm blanking. I did this earlier. Like I did
Keegan
this as
Murray?
An exercise.
Is that? I mean.
Yeah, Keegan Murray's Patrick Williams.
Yeah.
It's the Bulls from 2 years ago that made the play-in.
Wow. They were the four back-to-back years. They were both the number four pick in the draft. Also, those two guys.
I saw somebody bring that up, and I was like, "That's a great point." This is just the Bulls from 2 years ago.
That's pretty good. But calling Keegan Murray Patrick Williams, I think, is an insult. But
to who?
To Keegan Murray? Are you kidding me?
That's not even close. I hate Keegan Murray.
Keegan Murray's good, and Patrick Williams has been a disappointment his entire career so far.
Iowa sucks.
Okay, but Keegan Murray is a good NBA player.
That's fine. You can have that opinion. The Bulls got Zach Collins, Kevin Herter, and Trey Jones. And next year's first from the Spurs.
I think they were the biggest losers, honestly.
Yes. The Spurs.
The Kings.
The Spurs were just like on his deathbed in a coma. I don't think he's actually in a coma, but Greg Popovich, I don't know who's the acting GM.
On his deathbed in a coma. He's like, I know he got his stroke, but why are you even saying that?
Because he's just not been around. It's like weird.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. But the fact that that might be true, though, just feels like, yeah.
I don't think it's true. Maybe it's true. I don't know. Sorry. Yeah. Prayers for Greg Popovich. Hopefully you get to feeling better, buddy. Getting to the point what I was trying to make.
Yeah.
It felt like the Spurs decided, hey, Kings, hey, Bulls, this is what we're doing. Send you, fax you over the paperwork. Like, yeah. It didn't feel like there was any, like, hey, could we get, I don't know, Fawn Castle, Devin Vassell, Jeremy Sochan, one of those three guys maybe?
Mm-hmm.
We'd like, nope.
Yeah. Either this could be another point in my theory of how the NBA is making things happen to further
to
the
make
future.
Sure that Wemby like had the next.
Yeah, it's optimizing the future for the NBA. But also, I think this is just an example of a deal where, you know, the other two teams both had guys that they feel like they have to trade.
Yeah.
Because Zach LaVine has been in that spot for so long now. That's like
literally since the against his will Kings brought him back on a restricted free agent offer. Or yeah. Sorry, the Bulls brought him. He was like, I want to go to Sacramento. Please mm-hmm. don't match. And the Bulls were like, we're going to match. And he's just essentially been like, I would like to be out. I'm not going to like, I'll still play. I'll still try. I'll still do my thing for Chicago, but please let me leave. Was that 2018? Like, when was that?
I mean, I don't know if he's been vocally saying he wants to leave necessarily, but it's just been on the trading block of like, for the longest time now, they've been saying like, oh, the Bulls need to just get rid of LaVine finally so they can rebuild.
And start over.
And they just could not find a deal to make for him because he was like, just his stock was so low this summer. And then... Fine again because they waited too long on it, and finally this season he's playing himself back into like a good player. Like he's looking really good for them.
He's playing really good.
Yeah, and so then they're like, "Oh, let's sell high on it," which is probably pretty smart. But the thing they get is not like a sell high return.
Is the price you could have got this summer
probably a little bit higher than that, but still, because I mean, Trey Jones I think is. He could be a good backup point guard. He is a good backup point guard, but for your future, could be a spot starter as a point guard. Kevin Herter is a good shooter, but like they got a first from San Antonio. You've got all the prediction Collins stuff. Is that a protected pick?
Which one?
The Spurs one. 25 first check. To the Bulls.
I will check. Is Zach Collins the one that said the anti-Semitic slur on Twitch?
No. That was Myers Leonard. Because they're both from Portland.
Both in Portland. Okay. I think my brain just crossed. Okay.
Yeah.
Apologies. That was not trying to be defamation to Zach Collins. I just genuinely got them mixed up in my brain.
That's funny. Yeah. No, Myers Leonard he's out of the league now. He has been for quite a few seasons.
Probably since he said that on COVID.
Basically, he was on the Thunder and the Bucks, I think, for a little bit after that. But not for very long.
The 2025 first round.
From Spurs to the Bulls.
Top 10 protected.
Oh, it is top 10 protected? Okay. Yeah. So is this for this season? So it's
No. I might have this mixed around. That was, they have one of the Bulls' old picks.
Oh, okay. This is a Spurs pick. Yeah. For this season. The first round pick for this season from the Spurs.
You continue to speak and I will figure this out.
Okay. Yeah. So if it has any protections on it, then it's not as good of a return. But if it is unprotected, then it looks like it. I mean, it might be somewhat of a return that's okay. But still, it's like for Zach LaVine, you didn't really need to trade him. I feel like it was just like they had already made the decision in their mind like 6 months ago. And so then like they're like, we have to trade him. And then the De'Aaron Fox one is just, he's demanded a trade and said that he won't re-sign with them. So that, you know, you kind of feel like you have to give him away. And I think they actually got a decent return for him because they got Zach LaVine, who's not that much lower of a caliber player, honestly, at this point. But then, and you also got, you know, all of those picks, which, yeah, they might not be the best picks, but it's still a slew of draft capital that are like all something, you know. So I think that was a pretty good trade there for the Kings. Not like the best, but not bad either. But definitely for the Spurs, obviously. Big win there for them.
It's protected, but I'm struggling to find how.
Okay, so it is protected, though.
There's some sort of protection on it from what I've gathered.
Okay. So it's...
Because my usual go-to is not updated for everything post-trade deadline.
Mm-hmm. Depending on what the protection is, it could vastly change how good it is, to be honest. But so moving on to another trade, moving off the Fox to the Spurs. This one, the Bogdanović to the Clippers for Bones Highland, Terrence Mann, and 3 seconds was one that I saw and was like, that's a lot for Bogdanović, even though I feel like I'm one of the biggest Bogdanović guys there are. I'm like... I really wanted the Nuggets to get him because of how him and Jokic play together for Team Serbia. That two-man game is just elite for international play, at least. But to me, like, Terrence Mann is really good, and 3 seconds just feels like a lot to throw in there. And then Bones Highland is also, like, who knows, could still turn out to be a good, like, six-man scorer. So, I don't know, it feels like a lot to give up for Bogdan Bogdanović, but also the Clippers trying to make a push to like get like a roster, a lineup that can compete in the West and make it out of the West. Maybe like that's a realistic like thing, to be honest. I guess they're not like a favorite, but like I could see the Clippers
adjacent to the Heat a couple years ago.
Yeah. Okay. If everybody
on your team
ago.
Is playing well.
Yeah.
Like when they made that finals run is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like everybody's kind of playing at their peak. Adding this guy gives you just a little bit more, and you're going to need a lot to get through the mountain that is the West.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously it's all dependent on Kawhi, but if Kawhi is playing and playing like a decent, like an all-star level Kawhi, you know, then I think this Clippers team, like we say every year, could do something in the playoffs. Whether they will is to be determined, but the fact that we can say that we can project like a possibility of them making some noise just feels crazy. Like when you think about the offseason, like what moves they made, like how they lost Paul George and everything, it felt like, oh, the Clippers are just going to basically rebuild. Like this doesn't feel like a team that's going to be competing, but they are. they have been competing. They're one of the top six teams in the West. Last I checked, they're seventh now, but they are only a half game back from the sixth spot with Minnesota. But yeah, getting back Kawhi, I think, is going to be big. And then also adding in Bogdanović. And it, to be honest, giving up Terrence Mann, while I feel like it is a lot to give up, they also, they have a lot of overlap there in Los Angeles with Chris Dunn and some of their, Norm Powell, honestly, can fill in for some of the stuff you lose with Terrence Mann. And then Bogdanović can fill in for some of the offensive value that might bleed from Norm Powell being more of a defensive piece, you know? So I think it works out pretty well, to be honest, for the Clippers. I just talked myself into that trade because, like, before I started talking, I was more on the side of, like, that seems like a little much, but now I'm kind of on the side of I would make that deal.
Well, I think that it fits basketball wise, but I still, like, feel like it's a lot to give.
Yeah.
Like, I think that, like, I know, you know why they did it. Essentially, they took, they looked at their team, saw, oh, what these two players accomplished, we can trim into one. And for playoff rotations, that's like a big deal to be able to, like, drop a body and not need as much. So I don't, yeah, we'll see how it plays out. And if they make a run in the playoffs, we'll look back to this moment and be like, that was worth it for them, probably. Mm-hmm. So, yeah,
no, for sure. And I've always wanted to see Bogdanović on a good team. He was in Sacramento. He's been
really close a bunch of times.
With Sacramento is obviously not very close. But then for a little bit when they looked like they could be, but obviously didn't end up getting there with,
was going to go to Milwaukee, was not allowed to.
Yeah. That was the big thing. Yeah. And then went to the Hawks and they had that one year where he was on a good team. But now he might be there back to that spot again, hopefully. Not really hopefully for me because that's going to be a team that the Nuggets are facing off against. So obviously
most likely
at least. Yeah. Could face off against. Obviously don't want that to be a team we lose to.
If history is anything, you probably won't.
Yeah, that is very true. Moving on to another big trade, Nurkic to the Hornets. It's also Nurkic and a 26 first to the Hornets for Cody Martin and Vasa Micic and a second, which I mean, obviously, big win for the Suns. Giving up a first-round pick is, like,
when not nothing. When you don't have very many already.
Yeah, it's not nothing, but I think you definitely got the better players. Another guy to try as your point guard to see if that sticks, I guess, with Micic. So, can't hurt there. And then, not a lot else to say on that, I guess, other than the Hornets. I think, really, the reason to make this deal is for the first. To be honest, I don't know if Nurkic is really going to be providing all that much for their team. But Middleton to Washington was another big flashy trade that happened. Chris Middleton being given up on by his Milwaukee Bucks franchise, given to the Wizards for Kuzma, who's just the better player at this point, to be honest. He hasn't had a great season thus far compared to last year, but I think, you know, obviously it's hard to fault the guy who's playing for the Washington Wizards on not, like, showing up every night, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like that in a winning environment, we saw him do it with the Lakers and won them a title as their arguably the third best player. So if he can be at least that for the Bucks, that's going to be huge. Make them more into a contender in the East, which I feel like they're kind of hovering below.
I feel like they can, like, this seems weird because he hasn't been consistent, but I feel like it just gives you, like, if you're playing for something every night, which you kind of touched on, I just feel like there's a chance where you're like, you're able to lean on it, not be as worried, is maybe the, like, the thing that my brain is trying to kind of click together, because it just, Chris Middle just got older, and I don't love the whole, like, dude was like an animal, was huge for you when you won your title. Mm-hmm. Obviously not as big as Giannis, but, like, had some huge games to kind of propel you through the Eastern Conference and had a couple big finals games as well. But it's just a business, I guess, and that stinks. But yeah, shout out to Chris, Michael Jordan, Middleton.
Yeah, WD-40, isn't that one of his nicknames? I don't even know why, but I think that's one of his nicknames. I think I've seen that before on Basketball Reference. But yeah, it's end of an era for Chris Middleton and Milwaukee. I'm sure that was one that was hard for fans to see happen, but I think a lot of people understand the benefit that it could have potentially. But yeah, moving on to the next trade, only a couple more to touch on. The first one being DeAndre Hunter to the Cavs, which I think has just made the Cavs even scarier because that's like the spot that they needed to fill. Now they have, I think, pretty definitively the best starting five in basketball, other than
with the way they've been playing this year.
Yeah.
No, but the way the Cavs have been playing, I mean, I've just kind of been waiting for the Cavs to play like worse, and they just aren't.
Mm-hmm.
So just because like when the way they started out the gates was like, oh, they're playing crazy good.
Yeah.
Like they won like 20
games in a row.
Yeah, it's like when you like have that like team that's like, oh, they're shooting really well in the first half. That's not going to hold up in half number two.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of getting close, I guess, to half number two, but Mobley has catapulted himself out of whatever kind of a slump you want to call it. Was it a sophomore or his junior? I don't remember what year he's in.
Two and three were both kind of slumped.
Slingshot his way out of that slump just at Mach, Mach 11. They're fun to watch.
Yeah.
I also could conveniently have missed every decent Darius Garland game. All the Darius Garland games I've watched have been, he's looked terrible.
Yeah.
So you were the one that kind of were like, no, you should like look at like other things and maybe watch a couple different games because you just have been able to catch him on bad nights.
You were offended by him making the All-Star team over LaMelo.
I was just irritated by it more than anything.
Yeah. So, but yeah, Garland is.
Also, the fact that they had three All-Stars really kind of was like, what?
What do you
Because like there's some teams in the past that like didn't get three All-Stars, or I'm like, I don't know.
It makes a lot of sense for the Cavs because they're just their best player isn't like, you know, he's not in that top tier. And then the next like the top three guys are all so close to each other.
Within
like,
10 of each other in the top. Yeah.
Like you could argue Evan Mobley's been the best player for the Cavs this year. You could argue
nights.
Yeah, you could argue.
It's been Garland. I think his like growth is the major or the leap he's made has been like the majority of the reason they are where they are in the standings.
It's because
no one was really ready for like, oh, he's like terrifying again.
He can make threes, and he's like shooting a lot of them. Like that, it's just he's been what has fixed their lineup problem with the overlap that they had for the longest time with Jared Allen and him together because neither of them could shoot. But it's like Mobley can shoot now, just all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So that's been big. And him as like a playmaker with the ball in his hands has grown. And then obviously he's still a defensive player of the year level candidate.
I don't know if we're going to see anybody win defensive player of the year for a hot
It's like a
minute,
consolation prize.
It's almost going to be like a, like they'll be like, we'll like look back on this era as like, oh, that guy would have at any other time in NBA history, but he just happened to be born in a decade around the Frenchman.
What do you think the over-under line should be for Wemby's?
How many he wins?
Yeah, DPOIs.
A number, the first number that popped in my head feels gross, but might not be that bad. 7.5 was the first number that popped into my head.
I was thinking.
And that feels so absurd.
Yeah.
But like the way he treats longevity and like cares and how good he, like, is that, that's. It's not possible, right?
No, for sure. I was thinking, honestly, I think the most level-headed like line I could have thrown out there was either, I was going to say either 5.5 or 6.5. So it's right there.
And then there was part of it was like, do I just say like 10.5 just to be obnoxious? Like he just goes on an insane stretch. But
to have somebody's line be more defensive player of the years than anyone has ever won?
Yeah.
That's the line.
And even if you go back down to like, maybe 5.5 is a better line than 7.5.
Over. Four is the most.
Right.
Gobert has even the most defensive players of all time at four. And so to have your line be two over, like if you were to go over your line, you're two more than anyone has ever won in an entire career.
And I feel like 5.5 is like a fair guess.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like I think it's more accurate than 4.5. I think 5.5 is more
crazy.
Accurate. But that's just.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Do they have career prop bets? That'd be interesting to go and look. If I could just put $10 on it right now, Wemby's gonna win 8 DPOYs, just become a millionaire. That's my retirement.
Yeah. But anyways, so Cavs, though, getting DeAndre Hunter, I think, fills in a lot of the gaps. Somebody who can defend big wings, like on the Celtics, obviously. They've got a few of those. That's somebody that's going to come in handy there, for sure.
If you're wondering, AD looks very good in his first quarter as a Maverick.
Oh, really? What is that?
14-8-3.
14-8-3. And his first quarter? Is that what you just said?
Quarter.
That's insane. That's like a Jokic quarter.
No, like...
Wow.
I feel like, not that anybody has like treated it as hate, but like, one, if you're that level of competitor, you could have treated the past week as just hate directed at you.
Yeah, for sure.
Granted, we've already argued why it's so justified, but maybe he has internalized that and is just taking it out on the poor Houston Rockets.
Yeah, that's crazy. Oh, and it's the, yeah, Dallas-Houston rivalry. So that's a big statement to make. That's a good way to win over Mavericks fans, for sure.
Yeah.
Is doing it in that matchup.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Anyways, we're trying to get back to the DeAndre Hunter for LeVert and Niang in 3 seconds and 2 swaps. Just everybody's getting draft something. Capital except for the Mavericks. But DeAndre Hunter, I think he helps the Cavs out a lot. LeVert and Niang to the Hawks. I don't know. I think they're not really trying to, especially when Jalen Johnson went out for the year. I think that was kind of the death knell for them this season because he's like arguably been their best player this season. So that's a big thing there. And I think that probably this deal is especially made now because of that. Not really a win now move, obviously. But then the next one, the last trade we'll touch on before we get out here is Brandon Ingram to the Toronto Raptors. And this one I'll need to pull up because I didn't even know about it before we started recording, to be quite honest.
Brandon Ingram is heading to Toronto, and heading down to New Orleans is Bruce Brown, Kelly Olynyk, a first and second round pick. Years not listed NBA.com.
Yeah, it just says first pick.
Maybe the official releases of either of the teams will have it.
Yeah, that's interesting.
A 2026 first round pick via Indiana and a 2031 second round pick.
Okay.
Not sure where from.
Probably. If it doesn't say a team, it's probably Toronto then.
Probably coming from, no, from New Orleans.
No, they're receiving it.
It's coming from the Pelicans.
They're receiving it. Pelicans receive. How would they get it if it's from
them? I'm looking at the press release and not the NBA.com thing. That was confusing me. That's why I got swapped around.
Oh, does it say matter on the Pelicans one?
Does it say something different? You are correct. I was confused.
Oh.
Going to New Orleans is Bruce Brown, Kelly Olynyk, a 2026 first round pick, and a 2031 second.
Hmm. Yeah. So that is, it's not a terrible return, I guess, for Brandon Ingram. It's not the best.
Kind of a similar thing to the Zach LaVine situation, but just way shorter in duration because he's not been in New Orleans at that weird level of, like, do they move him, do they not move him for near as long. But it's a very similar,
yeah.
Like, we kind of have to move him, right?
Mm-hmm. And then also, he hasn't played himself up, he hasn't played his stock up this season like LaVine has. Because he's barely played. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, Bruce Brown, hoping he eventually ends back up in Denver somehow. But he's been bouncing around quite a bit since he's left. I'm sure he kind of regrets. I know for a fact he does because he's actually said that he regrets leaving Denver. But yeah, hoping we get him back sometime. Although Russell Westbrook has kind of spiritually filled in the Bruce Brown hole that was on our team. So yeah. They'll have to. I feel like those guys would get along though. Those.
I think my favorite thing ever is when you sent me, it was like a picture and it was like Nuggets fans, 8 months ago, man, I hate Russell Westbrook. Why did we sign him? Nuggets fans today, I would physically die for Brody. Like it didn't even say Russell Westbrook. It said Brody. Like
it was a complete 180 that Nuggets fans.
Almost everyone. Mm-hmm. Like there was very few people that were pumped about this Russell Westbrook signing.
To be fair, I did talk myself into it very fast.
Yes.
I did say like I...
You did do that.
Yeah. I saw the upsides of it. I didn't see it being this good. I will be
But honest. It did also take a little bit to be this good. But even when you guys were
not
like struggling...
Not that long, to be honest. Yeah. He was making an... Like, it was like a... I took the good with the bad, you know, right away. Like, yeah. There wasn't really a point that I was like, this was a terrible mistake, other than I was considering maybe the first two games. I was like, this looks really bad so far, but obviously the verdict is still out. You can't do it that quickly.
Yeah.
So I gave it a little bit more time. And then eventually I started to see, like, you know, he's the impact he made right away that I saw was like, you know, he comes in the game right when he checks in. He's like the only guy who, in these moments where we're maybe up by a little bit and we're playing around with the lead, he's diving after a ball and pumping up the crowd and like just doing all this stuff. It's like he freaking cares about every possession. And it's just like there's so no much. One else that does that. He just injects life into the team, and that's like valuable. But then I also was like, you know what I hate? I just freaking hate like the every other possession it feels like at the beginning of the season, where he would just do this thing where he brings the ball to his other hand really, really fast to gather, and then the ball just goes careening like 30 feet into the air, into the stands. It's like he leads the league in those plays. I'm like, why do you have to do that all the time?
I don't know if I could think of another player that's done that.
Yeah.
Type of a thing. That's like a him. It's like a so signature move.
Is him just yes. throwing the ball out of bounds by just trying to bring it to his other hand.
Yeah. No. I'm glad that it has worked out, and he's just yeah. that. Like, I mean, we've always described him as like an Energizer Bunny of just like ready to roll. But mm-hmm. good to see that he's in another good situation and has a fan base love him and not be like, can we get rid of him now, please?
Yeah. I feel like I've adapted, figured out how to watch Russell Westbrook too. Like when he throws those turnovers now, I'm unaffected because I'm like, I know that he's more likely now to just get the ball right back on the other end or like do something because he just or does
do everything
that.
In his physical power
yeah.
to right his wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, you just got to take the good with the bad. It's just, it's peaks and valleys. But sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good. No, I'm out of time. That's what I was going to say. So you're not really cutting me off.
Okay. Sounds good. And I am out of time as well. Just kidding. I'm not, but sick. We can be. Oh. We will end today's episode here. Glad to have Jacob back in the fold after riding solo for an episode. But yeah, so check out next episode. I don't know what it's going to be exactly, but we'll figure that out. We're kind of just going, you know, case by case, week by week here at the Hoop Theory Podcast. Do need to get into some more Nuggets thoughts at some point, though. That was my first time doing that since coming back from the hiatus on air. But yeah, thank you for listening. Appreciate you. Stay happy and stay healthy. We will talk to you guys next episode.
Peace.